Today's scripture is, you can sit down. Sorry. Today's scripture is Jeremiah 18, 1 through 10. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, "Come, go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words." So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at the wheel. The vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel and seemed good to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me, "Can I not do with you, O house of Israel, just as this potter has done?" Says the Lord, "Just like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. At that moment I may declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will pluck up and break down and destroy it. But if that nation concerning which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will change my mind about the disaster that I am intended to bring on it. And at another moment I may declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will build and plant it. But if it does evil in my sight, not listening to my voice, then I will change my mind about the good that I intended to do it." The word of the Lord.
We turn to our gospel lesson, the gospel, the good news, the word of God for the people of God. It is our tradition to stand for the gospel, if you would be so kind and are able. This is from the fifth chapter of Luke, verse 1 through 11. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked all night long but have caught nothing. Yet, if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that had been taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed Jesus. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I invite you to be seated. I should explain that I'm growing a beard. Some of you might notice, maybe not. It's just not that I've got too far away from my razor this morning. Jefferson Avenue has our finance chair, Dan Harrelbutt, and he has been pushing us hard to remember that this is called Movember. M-O-V. Tim, you know, or Philip, you know about Movember? Have you heard of Movember? It is an awareness of men's cancer. So we are growing beards in remembrance to help that be aware. You might see some other personalities more famous than me growing beards. But it is an awareness that men, we need to take care of our health and we're not very good at it. Just ask my wife. I need to check up on you, a little homework. We had homework that we sent home with you this summer. Haven't checked it in a while. How are you doing on it? Have you been watching for good Samaritans in the world around you? Have you been the good Samaritans in the world around you? This week we'll call on us,
This week will be one of the greatest challenges, that we need to be about being the peacemakers that Christ calls us to be. So be aware of that. Today is All Saints Sunday. This is All Saints Sunday. I thought, I'm going to really do some interesting new research on All Saints Sunday. So I went to Google and I typed in the Saints. Some football team. I couldn't figure out why we'd be celebrating that in the church. But hey, you know, I'm just new at this. So it, on the front of your bulletin, you see a picture. It's not a very good picture, but some of the saints. And with our Reformed tradition that began with Martin Luther breaking away from the Roman Catholic Church, 1500s, we stopped the veneration of saints in Reformed traditions, but we acknowledge saints just the same. We don't name them and canonize them and go all through that process. It's kind of fun to watch, but there are saints. There are saints, and if you pause a moment and think with me, think of people that have touched your lives, that have brought you to know Christ, that have nurtured you and cared for you and inspired you and taught you how to be the Christians that we're all called to be. If you think about them for a moment and back up, and perhaps a teacher or a coach or maybe even a preacher, maybe a friend who witnessed the compassion and the care and the collegiality and the love that is a part of being Christian. Hospitality and peacemaking. Think of the people in your lives that have done that. And on All Saints Day, we think mostly about our families, don't we? We remember the saints that have gone before us, who rest from their labors, who have shown us the path to walk. And the further the time goes since we lost them, you know, the more perfect they become in our minds. My mom and dad, I could tell you some stories about them, but fewer and fewer each year, because they just are growing more and more golden in some ways. What about siblings or others, spouses that have touched us and guided us and inspired us? We will be celebrating communion today, and I remember reading an article by a man who wrote that he had lost his wife some years before, and that communion was a time that they shared together, because when he took communion, he knew she was with him. And so that's another gift, a gift of connection with one of the saints. Are you thinking of some of those saints now? Have you let them come to mind? I started letting my mind meander this morning and almost forgot to preach at the other church, thinking of all those people that had touched my life in special ways. I wish I could send them notes to say thank you to all of them. Some of them have passed into heaven, so I guess they know. Some I cannot connect with, I've lost touch with. But think of those saints for a moment. And as you do, and as you think of the wonder of those saints, I want to ask you a question. Were all the saints that touched you perfect? Now, maybe I should stop and back up and say, I'm only speaking for me, but I am not perfect. Maybe all of you are perfect. Those of you that are perfect, show of hands. Mark, did your hand just... No, all right. So in our imperfection, we know that we are flawed pots, are we not? We heard that passage this morning, didn't we? I went down to the potter's house, and there the potter was working at his wheel. The vessel the potter was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, and the potter reworked it into another vessel as it seemed good to him. How many of you have ever thrown a pot? Isn't that the right term? Rick, have I got the right term for doing that, throwing a pot? I've never got to do it. I've seen it done. I have a feeling I might make a mess of it, but we don't know. But here is the potter, this person, this human being that is throwing a pot, and it's not quite exactly right, and yet the potter is able to correct it a little bit, and that's a wonderful thing. And God says, isn't it possible that I also could do such a simple thing as help those who are a little bit flawed? So as I asked you to think of your saints, we know some of their flaws. We know that they weren't perfect. I love my dad. He was the saint in my life, but he was not perfect. It took me years to begin to come to that realization. And now as the years are progressing, he's getting closer and closer to saintliness again. That's part of our human nature, I guess. But out of their flawedness, they did something important and inspired us in ways that helped us to be here. Maybe they helped us to survive to this minute. Maybe they brought us through some of the dark nights of the soul and inspired us in our deepest needs. You know, that's good news. And we reflect on that. Did you hear that in the scripture this morning about Jesus calling Simon Peter? He's the big fisherman. The Roman Catholic Church designed, you know, they believe that he was the first pope. He led the congregation or the gathering of the saints after Jesus' death. He kept the church alive, nurtured it with help. And listen to what he said to Jesus when he called him. "Go away from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man." He was a flawed pot, a flawed saint, and yet he founds Christ's church upon the rock. Our saints were flawed as well. And it might actually drive one to be kind of cynical. I have, when I was a kid, had lots of heroes. Did any of you have heroes growing up? What did you think when you found out that they weren't perfect? Didn't it just irritate you? Didn't it make you a little bit cynical? And then it comes to the point that anybody lifts up, you begin looking for their flaws, don't you? Somebody famous, somebody known, somebody that has done something wonderful. You want to see the other side because you know that there's another side. Every pot is flawed. But there's good news. There's good news because even as flawed pots, as we were all flawed pots, even flawed pots can be perfect disciples for Christ. Models. Those who might be saints to others. Think about that. Sometimes we come to church because we need what's here. We need that wonderful gift that God gives us. And we forget that we come here also to offer our gifts to those others around us. We are supporting each other, and Christ is with us. But we come together, flaws and all, errors and warts and gray hairs and wrinkles. And we come together flawed, and through Christ, something happens. John Wesley used the word sanctification. It's one of those $3 words. It's gone up. It's a $30 word now. Sanctification, it means to make something holy. Take something ordinary. Take something plain, something right in the middle of the world that nobody has much notice of and make it special. Make it holy. Sanctify. And that's what God does with us. Flaws and all. If we will allow God to do so. Through God's grace, we are sanctified. We're able to become the hands and feet, the voices of calm and reassurance, of peace, of good news, of love and hospitality. Through God's grace. It's not something we can do on our own. I tell you what, I determined at a young age when I was in my teens, I'm going to stop making mistakes. They're just too painful. That hasn't worked out yet. Any of you else in the same boat? We try and we're moving on to perfection. We keep trying for it. We keep shooting for it. But we're not there yet. But I know that I can also still be the disciple Christ calls me to be. Because Christ's work sanctifies me. That's the first part of the good news. The second part is that there is one saint in our lives who was perfect. Who is perfect. He walked the perfect path. He was able to always do, as completely human, the right things. When Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ in our midst, is the saint that is part of each of our families. The perfect one. The perfect priest making atonement for all of us. The perfect master teacher to lead us and guide us. We come to communion. We come to that time of communion, and in communion, sometimes some of us have it just about memorized. We've heard it. How many times have you taken communion, do you suppose? And so the words come and you respond and you know them, and meanwhile you're thinking about what's for lunch. Our minds wander, but there's a place in our reading this morning where we will make confession. We will confess that we have not been perfect, that we are not perfect, and we'll acknowledge that before God and each other. That's hard to do. It is hard to do. It's an honest thing. It's a healthy thing, and it's reinvigorating, but it's not easy to do in front of one another. So we do it corporately so that all of us are in the same boat, I guess. But it's hard to confess seriously from our hearts. And the next part is even harder, because we are forgiven. Do you have things that you've done in your past that you just can't let go of, that just bother you in the middle of the night, that make you worry, that you're just ashamed of, sad for, regret? We all do. And yet in God's forgiveness, those are corrected. Those are in the past. Accepting forgiveness is not easy. And somehow us United Methodists don't do it very well. So this morning, as we are about the liturgy for communion, listen to it carefully. And listen to the great acts of God. In listening to our confessions and responding with forgiveness. Let's come together. Let's remember the saints this morning as we're in communion. Let us remember the saint, the Christ in our midst.